Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
This sets a very dangerous precedent.
Everything's a dangerous precedent these days with AI. AI's in fucking everything. You're right. Whoever wrote it for them probably didn't even fucking know that because they do absolutely no research. They don't watch genre movies. Everything I hear about the people on these committees, idiots. They're like, oh, I don't always watch the movies. I don't watch genre movies. I'm like, what do you do? You just fucking throwing a dart at a board?
Also, I have said it, I think, now like 3 episodes on this podcast, but Furiosa not being nominated for any technical awards might be my biggest snub of the year. For as much as they pretended to care about Fury Road, they could have at least given it editing, cinematography, like that kind of thing. Like,
now this is why I hate the Oscars, because it's a bunch of fucking elites. Fucking just fucking who are idiots, the idiotic elite, the worst elites, just randomly choosing which movies they think are best based on their own like arbitrary read shit opinions. And then the things that deserve it never get it. It always goes to like something that's like, oh, this one was talked about a bunch, so it got some shit. It's fucking garbage. It's a stoop. And you know, it's like, I don't know. I was talking to someone about my utter hatred. I'm holding in a rant right now. Utter hatred of the Oscars. And she said, I need to have more whimsy in my life. And I'm like, it's fucking bread and circuses to me.
They're just industry awards that are televised and given this weird pedestal.
Yeah, that's the weird pedestal. But she's saying it doesn't matter that much. I'm like, well, if it doesn't matter that much, it's just bread and circuses. It's just a fucking shiny shit show to keep us distracted. Because if either the awards mean something and it's done badly, or it's meaningless, why do we have it? Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your disillusioned with new releases, Matthew Olenchek, the host friend, joined as always by his fellow work host friend husband, Strunk, Harrison Poole. How are you doing?
We're going to move past
that. It's a Monday.
Yeah.
We normally record later in the week, but we're recording on Monday today. So I am sleepy boy.
But no, I'm doing all right. I love this movie.
It's really good. I was blown away by how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's a good movie. I'm not sure I'm going to rank it very high.
Absolutely not. I was
blown away by how actually decent. I think it suffers from the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, where really doesn't the protagonist doesn't really do much, which is fine. I mean, what he does do is important, but I feel it's like, who's this Tron guy? I'm here to see fucking Jeff Bridges, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I need to get this out of the way. Do programs fuck?
I mean, probably not yet.
Because they kiss.
Yes. But we haven't gotten full Sims, what is it, woohoo or whatever they call it? Like,
woohoo, yeah. Like, do they, that was on my mind for quite some time in the movie. As soon as he had like a girlfriend, I'm like, do they fuck?
I mean, I don't, they don't show anything. So like, I don't know. I mean, they don't kiss until the end, and she doesn't even kiss Tron first.
You think they like bump identity discs? The baby comes out, little baby program.
No, I think programs are just always created by the user.
Oh, so they fuck and then they go, dear user, please send baby. Alternatively, can we have baby? You must fuck. Or fucking the Naomi Rider program.
I mean, not that we were ever going to see any babies or children on military base, but like, we don't see children in this universe.
Yeah, we don't. That's the dream, dude.
That's a very sad dream.
Digitize me, Captain.
So here's, I mean, Tron is the name of the, like, I don't even think Tron's the protagonist. Like,
Tron's not the protagonist.
Kevin Flynn is the protagonist. Yes. Yeah. Like,
Tron does most of the stuff in this movie, but Kevin Flynn is the protagonist. Also a victim of terrible workplace safety.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stick my fucking digitizing laser pointed at my desk.
See, I mean, I didn't see. See, in my head, the master control program just, like, aimed it at him. Like, that everything was set up to, like, a robot grid, and, like, they moved the laser to a different floor to get him.
They might have. I know when we first see that the laser's there, it's already just behind and pointed at him. Even then, like, that should not be connected. You should be powered off. I mean, fucking, they have, like, kill switches for, like, the robot fights. You know, you just take it out and power don't flow.
Yeah.
There needs to be multiple safety. I'm just saying, like, forget the video game thing. You can take this guy down just through OSHA.
Yeah.
Also, we used to be a country where you could write 5 video games and become president of a multinational corporation.
Well, yeah. Aren't they, like, a programming corporation?
Yeah, but, you like, the people who write the... Just because you write a good video game, especially nowadays, you're going to write a great video game. You're not going to be put in charge. Sometimes, if you write a great video game, you get laid off.
Sure.
That happens more often than not. Like, half, like, Marvel Rivals, like, half the fucking team just got laid off.
Okay.
Like, you see all the time, like, great new success video game, team laid off. But back then, if they found out that you actually wrote the 5 video games, they're actually your president.
Yeah, you fly in on a helicopter in one scene, your entire movie ends in less than 90 seconds.
I mean, we know what he's doing now. He wrote 5 video games, so the board said, actually, he should be president. Put him in charge.
So this movie vaguely follows Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges, who was a former software engineer who designed 5 video games for this company called XCOM.
It's like
Excommunication.
Yeah, XCOM. Something like that. Or Ecom or something.
Yeah.
Also noted, he is like a fucking genius.
Yeah.
He is like really good at technology and programming just to begin with. It just has to stress that he on his own time made 5 video games that were then stolen by the villain of this piece, one of the villains, and he passed off his own work. So that guy became president.
Senior executive.
And then he was let go.
And then he starts an arcade and lives above an arcade in a studio bachelor pad.
That was a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean,
listen.
Like, yeah, sure. Now he gets vindicated. He gets to be president of a corporation. He's not doing bad.
He gets the world record in space paranoid.
He's not getting like the money he should be getting from all the games that are like super popular he invented, but he is a pretty busy, it's like a packed arcade,
yeah, filled with like a bunch of cool kids.
It's packed. It's cool, he has like a hot staff member. Yeah. He lives there, so like he's not even paying separate rent.
And
he has my favorite thing, which is window that looks over business establishment.
Yes.
Like, he's not doing bad for himself.
No. His one flaw, or I mean, his one big hole in life other than the video games is he's no longer dating scientist lady.
Yeah.
But, like, she's happy with other programmers.
Yeah, he doesn't get the lady in the end. He kisses a robot double, but that's about it.
And then even they, and even he she ends up with Tron.
Yeah.
Like, Yori ends up with
it's a weird movie. The more we talk, the now that we're talking about it, it's a weird narrative movie where the protagonist makes like he still has interest in her, does not get the girl, doesn't really do much to the end, in which he literally falls into the plot and saves the day, and we only kind of vaguely follow him.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie.
This is a 95 minute movie that the last act is less than 6 minutes. I would argue the last act is like 4 minutes long.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Oh my god.
It's great, but it's fucking like, It's a tech demo.
It is, and it rips. And why don't we have more movies look like that?
It's a tech demo that someone wrote way too much plot for.
Yeah, it's definitely Disney gave this guy a lot of money to test some computer generated stuff, and he's like, "Well, I gotta write something.
Maybe he wrote dinosaurs. I remember dinosaurs having like an actual plot, despite the fact that it is just a tech. It wasn't even a tech demo. It was an excuse for them to design all the CGI software that they would need for future projects.
Yes. Also, I am calling my shot now. If we have time, we are watching Tron Ares in theaters and reviewing it for the podcast.
Do you think that in Tron Ares, the programs are going to come out of the computer?
What?
Do you think in Tron Ares, the programs are going to come out of the computer?
Oh, yeah.
In like a Pixels-esque situation?
Oh, I hope so. I need it. I need it to happen so badly.
Is Jeff Bridges in it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Jeff Bridges is in it. Also, this is how I find out, because I did very little research on this movie. Nine Inch Nails is doing the soundtrack.
The fuck is this movie?
I don't know.
It's so weird. It has such a lasting cultural impact on us, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird fucking movie.
So where were we? It follows...
He's at the arcade. He got his job taken by this guy who took all the credit.
And then there's a different programmer, or he makes Clue to try and infiltrate...
And whatever. Find proof that he made the video game.
Yeah, and then Clue disappears after the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then a different programmer invents Tron. Alan invents Tron. Well,
he's been working on Tron, yes. Which is a separate security program, which doesn't work alongside the Master Control program, which I'm a big computer guy, so I'm gonna give you a little summary of it here. It used to be a chess program. Now it's like a fully fledged AI. At some point between fully fledged AI and chess program, that one guy who stole all the video games, the five video games, was using it to manually, because before this, he had to manually approve access requests. Because, you know, every time you enter a password, there's someone on the other end of another computer.
Yeah, hits yes. Correct.
So it does that now. But it's like, it's blackmailing him, and it's absorbing every other program so it can do everything. And... it's going to take over the world. It's gonna get into the Kremlin and the Pentagon and whatever the building's called in China, and it's gonna take over the world because it can. It's every program. Like imagine. Okay, no more TurboTax. That's Master Control program. No more Excel. That's Master Control program. Like it can RAM. Never heard of her. Okay, CPU usage. Never heard of her. He's doing everything.
And in the same building that this program is being run in, and they're making video games. They're making video games, right? Like,
I think kind that's of something they do. They might have started that way. I'm not sure. I have no idea what this company does computers, Harrison.
There's also a science lab attached where they disintegrate an orange. They create nothing and then create something from the nothing.
Yeah, they digitize it. This company does computers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the two main scientists.
And as we all know, computers, you have to enter a chat room.
Yes.
So when you use a computer, we've all used computers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go in and I say, please run Excel. I have access. I'm system admin. And then the computer decides whether or not to give you Excel. I presume when Excel pops up, you then say, column A, row 4, enter in 34.0 for me, please.
So the two lead scientists are an elderly man, I'm guessing in his 60s, 70s.
Who's the co-founder. He's the founder of it.
Yeah. That he made the company in his garage, and then his partner, his scientist partner, not his business partner, but his scientist partner is a lady in her late 20s, early 30s, who is dating Alan, the inventor of Tron, but used to date Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges. Alan has a weird relationship, has a weird dynamic with Bridges where he tries to like act tough around him, and Bridges just does not give a shit. Like, is
and
not
even like he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's trying to steal his girl. Yeah. He really makes no. He's flirtatious, but he makes no like attempt to be like, hey,
right? It's like, this didn't work out. Like, I hoped it would. It didn't work out. I'm happy for you. Live your life. I got bigger fish to fry right now. I gotta become. I should be the senior exec of this of XCOM.
I need to stress that like the first GUI came out in 83.
Okay.
Not 83. Sorry, I was looking at one of the later versions. It came out in 73. And Apple had done theirs in 79. But I guess this is an alternate universe where with computers you still enter everything via chat prompt.
So
are there, do we see mouses?
I think so. We have to.
What do you use them for?
To control Clue. I don't know.
He just types in there.
I know. But yes, he...
That's what I mean, because when he sends Clue in, he sends Clue and he loses Clue. This is the opening of the movie. Immediately after we are, the computer world's revealed. It does not take very long for us to immediately be like, there are computer people who are fully sentient in the computer. It's like right after
yes.
that.
And they look amazing. Genuinely, not a joke. I want more movies to look like this today.
Literally the only thing that I'm like, I think it's, if they had different helmets, the good programs, the bad yeah. programs, helmets are great. If they just had like different helmets, they'd still look utterly like fantastic.
Yeah.
The helmets are the only thing I think look kind of dumb. Everything else, fantastic. Basically, he's like typing, he's like, Clue, please go in and get the software. And then he's waiting, and there's like no way to tell what the program's doing because that's not how computers work.
Right.
So he's like, status update, please. And then it's like, program detached, because as you know, sometimes when you're using a program, it can stop being in your computer. And now it's in the computerverse. It's become... Because, you know, I've used Excel before, and suddenly Excel isn't in my computer.
Yeah, absolutely. All of the computer world looks blue and gray. Like, it has this weird blue-gray filter that, not a joke, I think still holds up. I think if a 19-year-old kid, like, or a college kid, if a college kid made that as their filter for like another world, I would be like, good job.
Again, the only thing that doesn't hold up in this costuming is the helmets, because they're a bit goofy, and the identity discs, and that's only because you're like, that's a fucking frisbee.
Yeah,
100%. Everything else, it's like, yeah, this works.
Yeah, they look entirely differently in Drawn Legacy.
Yeah, I've seen.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, this like so, yeah. So he does the thing with Clue, and then then they're like, the computer's like, we should. The guy's like, hey, master controller, we should. It's Flynn. It is Flynn, and he's like, we should shut off all access to level 6. And he goes, 67% chance you are correct. He's like, oh, that's cute. And then that's when we see, was it Alan?
Yeah.
Alan's like, fuck, I can't access my goddamn Tron. I have to go see the boss. What the fuck? And he walks back up to the office. He's like, well, there's security problems. He goes, okay, we'll be restored soon. He's like, all right. And then he goes back down to do...
Well,
is he just sitting in the office jacking off?
Or? I think he's doing accounting at that point. Or like he's doing some level of like inner manage, like inner like... logistic shit as opposed to working on programming shit.
Because then he immediately just goes down to see his girlfriend in the science lab, yeah. Presumably because he has a week where he does absolutely... It's like when I was locked out of my work program for a week, I just went... like, the, you know the cat?
Uh-huh.
The cat that was... That's what I was doing. And then, like, everyone else on the team, because, like, half of us were locked out, we're just like... and like, I don't know what everyone else is doing. I think I went grocery shopping. It's just I couldn't do my fucking job.
So yeah, he goes to see his girlfriend and then
just being my meat, like, no, oh, I wish I had a laser girlfriend.
And then they go to see Jeff Bridges because she's like, you know who can help us? You know who's the only person who can help us? And so they go to see Bridges in his arcade.
She goes to see him because she's worried that he needs to be warned.
Sure.
Because he's like, fuck, he had that access.
They know.
Like, we have to go warn him.
So okay, so in the computer world, all the users are God, or their programs, there are users.
Yeah, they view them as gods.
But then
master control programs in r/atheist guy who's like, anyone who believes in God, he doesn't sound like a computer, but I have no way to differentiate his voice otherwise. He's like, anyone who believes in God must be killed in sports games. And then I will become them. I am now a calculator and the pinball game.
Yeah, so there are...
My face is so wide. Yeah, my face is so wide. Help me. Why is his face so wide? I thought it was like distortion effect of just like that particular scene. But then we see his face again and he just has a really wide face.
Because he's a computer program. I don't know. He just...
The hot 80s girlfriend's a computer program and her face isn't like 2 feet wide.
I don't know. I don't. Maybe it's based off some kind of mask of some kind. I don't know. So
as you all, again, you might also just be like, I need a new program, right? Like, oh man, you know what I could really use? A fucking program that, I don't know, fucking, I could enter in like food recipes and it tells me how to like change that based on how many people I'm serving. So like if I want to double the people, or like not for double, but like I'm going to add 3 more people to this. Do the math for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take TurboTax and just turn that into that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's like, you know, that's how that works. And that's why you took a chess program and turned it into a sentient AI god.
10,000 years from now, when technology is like, when AI has essentially...
You're giving me a perfect segue. I think you mean 40,000 years from now. Because this, what you're about to say is just part of Warhammer 40K.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was a big AI war. And so after that happened, they stopped using like a bunch of computers and shit. They became super like technophobes, and now they take like people they don't like and turn them into human computers. So like you open up a box and there's like a man's skull with a brain in it, and that's running your ship. But like everything they believe in machine spirits. And yeah. So like they'll build a tank, and they don't know how to build the tank. They had to find like, because in the golden age there's like design patterns that you could just plug in the factory, pump these things out. Like it was just like they figured out how to mass produce shit really easily. So they had to find these things. Let's say they find the Land Raider, which was invented by a man named Mr. Raider.
Sure. Of course it was.
Yeah. Like the last pistol probably invented by, there's some YouTubers whose joke is that it is Johnny Laz invented it. It's like Thomas Land invented it because it is his Land Raider.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they build these tanks and a bunch of people who are half cyborg who worship a machine god come out and they do smoke and sensors and like prayers and seals to appease the machine spirits, or else the machine won't work. And actually, they seem to be correct.
That's awesome.
And there's like on Mars, it's the Adeptus Mechanicus, and it's a whole priesthood of like half cyborgs who worship the machine god, the Omnissiah. And they're the only ones who handle technology. And the biggest anathema is to create new technology. The machine spirit does not like that.
So they go visit Jeff Bridges at his arcade just to warn him, like, yo, he knows about you. Like,
Seth, this felt like really hard when you said we've been talking about so much stuff in this movie. I go to 40K rant. Yeah, so anyway, movie.
It wasn't even that. It's that I was just trying to get off. I didn't have any more yes and. I'll be absolutely honest.
I feel like we already
you got
to the point where he's trimmed in, right? I don't know where we're at this movie.
Anyway, they sneak into
this
the
movie's insane.
They sneak into the lab. And maybe the office, but definitely the lab.
Alan goes to the office. He has to wait there at the computer to personally accept Tron's request for help.
And then Jeff Bridges' master control program zaps Jeff.
Wait, because he sits down. He's gonna free Tron.
Yeah.
And apparently he frees him by just typing nonsense.
Free Tron.
He's got a free Tron 2020. He's fucking typing in random questions to confuse it. And the computer's like, Flynn, you should have come back. Remember we played chess? I don't want to do this. Digitize you, Captain. And he fucking digitizes him.
So Jeff Bridges is in the computer world. He, a master control program, wants Sark, who's like the evil computer general.
Who is the body double
of the senior executive.
Yeah, because all these people have body doubles. Tron's Alan.
Yori.
Tron's girlfriend is the girl. Jeff Bridges is just Jeff Bridges, but he's also Clue. The old man is a Sphinx. Except not really. He's just in that.
Yeah, he's just in that suit.
He's like, motherfucker is ass up, like face down, just guarding the door to information like all day.
Yep.
And he can come out of that. I thought, oh, maybe he's part Sphinx. That's fun. No, that's just his kink. He's just stuck there in some really elaborate bondage gear.
This movie is so dumb, and I love it so much.
But it's so earnest in its assertion that it does have internal logic. Whether or not that's true, it is really adamant it does, and so I have to believe it.
And so Master Control Program wants Flynn to just play game over and over again until he dies.
He's like, he pushed me in the real world, so I had to push back. He's like, but he's a user.
Yeah, and in the jail cell, or the holding cell before the games, but it's like a jail cell.
It's also a cubicle.
Yeah. He meets Ram. He also meets another program that I forget off the top of my head right now, but Ram is the important one.
Yeah.
He's
the insurance guy.
Yes. And he becomes like the third person in their bike of Tron, Flynn, Ram.
Imagine fucking naming your program Ram. It's like, okay, hey, what's that part I'm looking for in my Subaru Legacy? A Subaru Legacy. And actually, it's more like saying, so what brands your car? Like what model makes your car? Left engine gasket.
So there's so many games, but the first game,
at least five,
at least one game involves the identity. So if someone breaks an identity disc, they are destroyed. They are deresolution.
Except they are given the identity disc as well. So it's possible to exist without one, but if you lose it, you die.
Exactly. So one of the games is they just throw the disc back and forth and like block it with the other disc, and if it hits the floor, there's like five or six circles and that circle disappears. And Jeff Bridges beats the guy in the game, but he's holding on to the center circle, like hanging off, and he refuses to kill him. And so Sark just deletes his circle and kills him anyway. It was like, I am your superior. And then there's the bike game. What's it called? It's like
light cycle.
Thank you. Which is essentially snakes, but with motorcycles. And they ride around and you try and like cut the person off to hit your light cycle, and then they deresolution. And one of the opposing teams like crashes into a wall, and then there's just a hole in the wall, because that's what happens in real video games. Is actually,
yeah, I was playing Baldur's Gate and I missed with an axe swing with Karlach, and I created a hole in my video game.
Yeah,
and then all my little computer guys ran out of it, so I had to go to my computer and type in, computer, this is Matthew, I'm the system admin, please email Larian Studios and let them know that my computer guys have left my computer game and I require new ones. Also, please patch System Access 4. And I said, I can do that, Matthew.
So they escape through the hole have you ever seen like streams of speedrunners of Super Mario Odyssey?
Yeah.
Yeah, like where there's like walls and you can glitch behind.
I'm aware of the jump hacks.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they sneak through the wall and they're on the run. They're rogue now.
This happens in my Skyrim game all the time.
Oh, same. Absolutely.
There is a room in Skyrim where all NPCs who die go.
Oh, nice.
When their body disappears, yeah, they come back to life and then they're in this room.
Oh, nice.
I love computers.
It's Ram, Tron, and Flynn against the Master Control Program and his army. So they're on the run. Ram gets they split up a little bit. Ram gets hurt and is about to deresolution.
Well, because the big tanks that he hates having programmed, they think that they both get derezzed.
Yes.
So Tron's like, no, and keeps going.
Yeah, Ram has not fully derezzed, but Ram is super hurt. He like carries him into like a, like it's a not broke, a cave,
it's
but
a
it's
broken,
a broken
yeah, it's, recognizer.
Right.
We also skipped the scene where Jeff Bridges is a greedy little slut and drinks up all the power water.
Oh, yeah. They find they so so.
Oh, it's so good.
So yeah, it's like a video game. When you eat, your health regenerates. They drink, and their health regenerates.
It's what happens when I eat yogurt.
Yeah,
you see me whenever I have a yogurt, yeah. I glow a bit, and I go, power, power.
So there, Tron is gone.
Tron is progressing the plot.
Sure, Jeff. Flynn and Ram are inside of the broken recognizer. Ram revives the recognizer, and then Ram wakes up for a little bit to give a riveting speech.
And he goes, "Jesus!"
And he's like, "You're a user, aren't you?" There is another side. Essentially, like, there is a heaven. There are users, and then just die. Like, he woke up for 30 seconds to give a, like, oh, there is a God, and then just...
I mean, honestly, that's good for him. Imagine your dying thoughts being your faith just completely confirmed.
Yeah.
Great.
Also,
I know we'll probably talk about it next episode. I know a bit about Tron Legacy, not too much, but mentioning heaven got me thinking, because in the end, the character, the hot lady, comes to the real world, right?
Yeah.
The first time she shits has to be terrifying. Right?
Because,
like, the eating and the drinking, there's, like, allegories for that, so she can understand that. And pissing, too. Like, pissing's pissing. You're like, what the fuck's happening? Oh, you have to piss in the toilet. Okay. Shitting's, like, a whole thing. Right?
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's. I was thinking about this earlier today when I was shitting. I was like, piss, you're one and done, right? Done, move on. Like, but if you'd never shit before, like, you imagine she just pissed. Wow, that was weird as fuck. But I understand it. Then you shit. It's probably like her first shit too, so it's probably not a great one. And he's like, yeah, sometimes there's bad ones. Is it bad pisses? No, normally your piss is fine unless you're sick. Sometimes you'll just have a bad shit, lady.
So Tron unites with...
I'm not ready to move past this conversation. Do you think she screams?
I don't know. I don't
want... Like, if you shit for the first time and you never shit before, you have no concept of shitting. You would scream, right?
Probably.
You would think you're dying.
Okay, so Tron... Tron meets up with Yori.
We can talk about it more next episode, than the next Tron Legacy episode.
Perfect.
I want a good half an hour dedicated to...
I will cut the entire half hour. Honestly, I may cut the 6-minute shitting thing. Anyway, so Tron meets up with Yori, who's the program of the scientist, and
she works on a simulation of a solar sail, because, as we mentioned, this company does computers.
And they're off trying to find the founder Sphinx to talk to the user, to talk to Alan.
Alan won. You had to go to the BDSM Sphinx.
So they find him, and he goes to talk to Alan One, Alan One gives him updates his identity just to be special. So the master program is like a spinning dice under a spinning dice, and in the in the center where the two dice tips meet, he needs to slide his identity disc to, like, destroy the
identity
program.
Disc, which didn't exist previous. It's kind of like if, like, I'm going to have to go really extreme with this metaphor for me to really grasp the what's happening in this scene. It's like if a Jewish Holocaust person talked to God, and God's like, yeah, I'll upload the special prayer power to defeat Hitler into your Nazi tattoo, which I have no reason knowing exists. Because it's not a standard thing in humans as I design them. Because, like, Alan doesn't know about identity discs. They're created for this whole game thing.
Listen, this movie is all vibes.
It's a testament to the movie. I didn't question it when it happened.
No.
Only looking back do I say, this makes absolute... What do you mean his identity... Well, you know, computer programs famously all come with identity discs.
So...
Hey, Steam, my game's fucked up. Sorry. Hey, Steam, it's me, Matthew. Access code 7. My identity disk for Baldur's Gate 3 is screwed up. Can you do a reinstall? Access code 4. Password, Rainbow Pelican.
So Flynn, they meet up with Flynn again, and they're on this, like, like boat attached to a beam.
A solar sail.
Yeah, attached to a beam so that they can get to the master program. And the military, the master program military is after them.
Which is one ship.
Yeah, and he, like, divert, and in one instance, Flynn diverts the beam using science, because just, like, beams can be diverted.
Because, one, users have, like, godlike powers, he's discovering.
Yes.
And two, it's simple physics, an energy beam can always be, redirected.
Yes. And
simple goddamn physics.
Exactly, right?
You learn that in Computer Science 101. It's the first thing they teach you when you start learning computers. Before typing, before, like, the concept of folders, an energy beam can always be redirected.
So they get trapped by the military ship.
Well, they also think Tron's dead at this point, but he's not.
Right.
Because of the ship crashes into the solar sail. And, like, Tron's dead, but Tron's not dead.
Right, but Ram is dead, though.
Ram's been dead.
Yeah, but they had the moment of, like, where's Ram? He didn't make it, and there was, like, a mutual,
we also, like, have, like, a five-minute sequence of Jeff Bridges doesn't fully fix the register thing, recognizer, and so there's, like, a five-minute sequence of him driving it very badly.
Yes.
It's, like, 5 minutes of him, like, oh, God! Oh, no! And serves almost no purpose to the plot.
But it was an excellent deck demo. It looked fantastic. And then and they got a bunch of these programs, include all of the programs who believe in the users, including the one who can talk to the users, who is the co-founder. I don't know if we mentioned that. We probably did.
They get put into one of those things they have at, like fairs.
That you just spin around and you're just trapped to the wall.
And it's this machine, is the master control unit tells us, is both going to take away their faith, and then he's going to be... he's going to be Notepad. He's going to be Recycling Bin. He's going to be Audible. He's going to be every program.
And Jeff Bridges is trying to stop him. He's fighting the
Tron is.
Tron is.
Because Jeff Bridges' ship is slowly de-rezzing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So is the lady, but he brings her back because he's
saves
got
her. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
He kisses her. And we go back.
Because she thinks her boyfriend's dead. So instantly it's just like, well, obviously he's been dead for 90 seconds. Well, look, obviously we need to smooch.
Harrison.
Uh-huh.
If Geneva died and then Jesus brought you back to life, would you not kiss him on the lips? Okay. Would you not kiss him on the lips?
This is such a weird hypothetical.
No, this is exactly what happened in the movie. So Nazi God killed Geneva, but Jesus brought you back to life just as you're about to die. Don't you kiss him on the lips?
Sure. You know what? Sure. I don't know if it's inherently romantic, but sure.
But Tron manages to defeat this guy, but then he becomes really big because magic control power gives him all of his power. The power of solitaire.
And he
the power of snake.
And
the
he
power
becomes
of paint.
Giant Jafar as the Sark. As master control.
And he can't be stopped because he can just knock back identity disks.
And so he Tron throws his identity disk into a tiny sliver. And
well, before that, Jeff Bridges jumps out of the ship, jumps into the master control program, turns it blue, and then holds it so he can do that.
And Tron, like, throws it into a tiny sliver. It lands right in between the two spinning
and then it blows up
tips and then just explodes.
And they're like, look at the city.
And it sends Jeff Bridges up into the real world.
And everything turns blue. Like, all the ports are back online.
And then, yeah. And the laser shoots again and Jeff Bridges is just recreated.
And then the printer prints out.
The fact that
actually, you made the game. Priority one.
And
cuts to the bad guy. That's still the game. He's like, master control, and it just pops up the same thing. He goes, well, I'm fucked. I can't be president anymore. Just sits down.
And then he rides in on a helicopter.
We have a 3-second shot of, the boss is going to be your act professional. He's like, oh, my programs. End movie.
So, The last act of this movie is like 4 minutes. There's
the final scene. There's of this like movie is 10 seconds long.
And then it just roll credits, written and directed by Steven Lisberg, or Lisberger, or I can't remember off the top of my head. Excellent tech demo is an excellent movie. It should have won so many special effect awards.
And someone saw this, rightly so, but in an insane sort of way, said, it's been like 30 fucking years. We should make a sequel.
Exactly. We should make a 2-hour fucking overblown sequel.
Like an actual movie sequel.
And this movie wasn't that successful. It was just, it was a cult classic forever.
Tron is somehow, everyone knows Tron, and everything from Tron is like, it is so in our culture at this point.
Yeah.
Light cycles, just the things and shit.
This movie cost $17 million and made 50. So it made its money back. It was not like unsuccessful. I don't know if this is a movie that you need to have seen as a child. I have not seen this movie since early college.
I presume in computer science class.
Yeah, exactly. They like a documentary.
You just watch this movie, you understand computers. You don't need to do no more.
This movie holds up. Holy shit.
Well, also, like, it inspired a lot of, like, any, like, cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Any, like, I guess it's also cyberpunk. It's Shadowrun, that's fantasy cyberpunk. Like, they all owe, like, their ideas of, like, the digital world.
Yeah, they're owed
so
to this
beholden
movie.
To try.
So, as someone who didn't watch this as a child, like, what is it like watching this incredibly goofy, dumb movie as an adult? Like, what's that experience?
Because I grew up, now, like, right when computers were getting big, but, like, right when computers were becoming mainstream.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when we first got them in preschool, like, you know, a lot of that early advances I remember, and it was exactly like everything that happens in this movie. It was a very nostalgic film.
Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
I remember being like access code 6 and like talking to my programs.
But real talk, like
that was a real talk.
Okay.
This movie's computers, dude. This movie's computers, dude.
Was there anything other than the helmets you didn't like about this movie?
No.
Right?
Everything holds up. I mean, once you get past the fact that this movie is completely wild, like, narratively, and it's insane, the helmets are, like, the only design thing that don't really hold up. Everything else is, like, an excuse, because, like, oh, it's older CGI, and it holds up for what it's doing, because it's, like, it's all computers.
Yeah.
It's not, like, in the real world, it would probably be like, oh, this is awful, but since it's all computer land, everything looks good. The helmets are the only thing that I don't think holds up visually.
That's fair.
Like, I'm sure the bad guys in like Legacy might have hoods. They do not have the dumb helmets.
The helmets don't really bother me. Like, it's just like, of course. That's just, I think it's just because I've seen this movie so many times. Still don't understand it.
What is there not to understand?
No, I mean plot-wise.
What do you mean? He gets sucked into the computer and he defeats the master program with a special bit of code. There's like 5 paragraphs of plot on Wikipedia. It's like 2 sentences, but there's not that much. And most of it, you know, every time you log into a PC, you know, because that's how computers work.
This movie rips. I think those are my final thoughts. It just rips. It rips because it rips. Because you can analyze this movie with your brain and pick it apart.
Do you think Tron
and tear
fucks
it apart?
Yori at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he have to, like, digitize a dick? Dick add-on activate?
I don't know.
Their clothes come off.
I think it is like Sims Woohoo.
You think it's like Sims Woohoo?
Yeah. But you can pick apart this movie. You could be a fuddy-duddy. You can be like, that thing doesn't make sense. That's a plot hole. That's just complete and utter gibberish. But where's the fun in that? Why would you analyze this movie with your brain when you can analyze it with your heart? This movie is vibes, and they're awesome.
Even I, a man who's constantly told I have no sense of whimsy, this movie rocks.
Thank you.
I have no sense of whimsy, and people are like, just have fun with this thing. I'm like, no, I see all the inherent, like, societal and structural problems with it. Not Tron. Tron just computers, baby. Tron just computers, though. What if computers was a movie?
What if computers was movie?
We've seen if Grocery Store was a movie. Accurate. Bad.
What if computer was movie?
Accurate.
Even more good. Accurate. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. So if you want to find us on Instagram, remember, you have to use access code 7 for that. But we are a two men movie podcast. You can send us requests, comment on things, see posts we make. That's how Instagram works. If you want to email us, it's twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Send us, your thoughts on how programs shit and piss, your theories. If you do some, like, hot Yori Rule 34 porn, ask your computer, like, access code 9 to digitalize it and then send it to us. I'll jack off to it. You can find us on YouTube at Two Men in a Movie. Everything else, we're Two Men Movie Podcast. Just send me shit, I'll jack off to it. That's the Two Men Movie Podcast guarantee. Even if I'm not into it, I'll give it a whack.
Where can they find you?
Manwest_magician.
You can find
where you will not see me jacking off.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Lemonade. I'm gonna test some threads out.
When we get Patreon, that should be a Patreon level. If you send me something, I will check off to it. But you have to make it. Can't be something you find.
No AI.
No AI. No, like, oh, I found this video or porn. If you make pornographic material and send it to me, I will jack off to it.
You can find me at harrisonpoole.com. HarrisonPoole.com. HarrisonPoole.com.
Draw me Furiosa's mom.
Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music.
And then once I get Furiosa's mom drawn, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to access code 10. Digitalize me, Cap. I'm going in.
So, thank you for listening. I hope you had some fun. Tune in next week for Dude Part 1.
For the worm! Hugs and kisses, but this time, they're dry. They're dusty and sandy. Because, baby, it's worm time.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.